We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse. Grant Bills and Paul Emick join us for I stopped my show abruptly the other night because I am having an issue. I can't good morning, everybody was so easy to say. Mm-hmm. And so the first couple hours now I'll go good evening, everybody. Mm-hmm. But once it hits midnight on the East Coast, I don't think it's morning. I come home at 1:30 in the morning, but it's still nighttime. Mm-hmm. But then people at like 12:01 Central, hey, Bart, good morning. No.
If you haven't gone to sleep yet, it's still the nighttime.
And I strongly will not give in to the demands of the East Coast.
Mm-mm. Big time.
Because like a lot of the shows are always like, oh, game starts tonight at 8, but I always make a point to say 8 Eastern. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll even slip in there a 5 Pacific. Mm-hmm. So this is a national show.
Yep.
Great.
6
great
Mountain, play. 7 Central.
Oh, Mountain's elite. Central's as close to good as it can get, but Mountain is, oh my God.
What's so good about Mountain?
Games are over before 10:30. Yeah.
Football starts at 11? Oh.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
College starts at 10. Mm.
But I would not want, like, Pacific time, I would not want NFL to start at 10 o'clock. I'm not ready yet.
But 11's good.
11's good. I do actually think I love noon, though.
But then the night game, Sunday night, would start at 6:20.
Love it.
And be done by 9:30.
Fantastic.
Oh.
In Mountain? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mountain, yeah.
Yep. But like 1,700 people live in that time zone.
Yeah, it's so small. It's so small.
I think Central time is the. I think we have it. We got it good. It's never going to be too early. It's never going to be too late. We're always reasonable. We are a very reasonable time zone. You're never going to have a unless they stick the Bucks at like 9 p.m., which can occasionally happen, but that's pretty rare.
Or like when the Bucks played at 4:30 against the Pacers Central time, and then Pacific, you'd be like, it's 2:30. Why is there a playoff game on television?
I didn't mind that, actually. More daytime sports, I think, is good.
No, but
there's enough people working from home. Give us something in the middle of the day.
4:30 was fine, but if it was at 2:30, I mean, I know you guys have weird schedules, but for most people, 2:30, like 2:30 Pacific, would be like...
I work 9 to 6. Don't lump me in with middle of the night boy over here. I have a very reasonable
and
normal schedule.
Yeah, that's fair. Sorry about that, Grant.
It's fine.
Well, what's up with my boys? What do you got today, Paul?
Oh, wow. There's not like some 12-minute
foreplay?
Okay, all right.
I could give you an update.
What do you got?
I could give you an update.
Update it.
So, I did a Facebook post about No Mo May.
I saw your Insta. I loved it.
Which I posted. I was mowing my lawn, and mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to do a Snapchat, whatever. Mm-hmm. I never do those. And then, like, I was getting texts from people like, that's so funny. Eat shit bees, you said, when you're going to mow the lawn. That's so funny. I was like, I'm just mowing the lawn. So then I put it on my Facebook page.
I didn't see this.
I just put eat shit bees.
No, you said no mo. What was it? The hashtag was fuck the bees. I remember that.
The Instagram one was fuck the bees.
Okay.
The Snapchat one was eat shit bees.
Okay, I'm way too. I don't have Snapchat.
So
eat shit bees is funnier. They're both
eat
funny.
Shit bees, eat shit bees is funnier. I agree. That's why that's the one I used on Facebook. So then I got a bunch of messages from Alan on the north side. Remember him?
Yeah.
So he's all pumped that I'm mowing my lawn because
he's never been happier for you to say or do anything.
It's like now that's become political. Like I'm on Alan's side when I mow the lawn, I guess. So he did a video.
Or myth. I just will say this. Second mowing in no mow May. Am I proud of myself? I'm freaking ecstatic.
That's it. He did a 10-second video.
He commented with a video. That's elite.
Why would like Alan does he know you have a national perspective now? Like why have more of the 1250 callers of your show not found their way to the national show yet?
Well, there was a good stretch. I was getting some JMO in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think because it's on so fucking late, Paul.
Maybe. What time is it? 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific?
Yeah, 8 Mountain, 9 Central.
Cover all four.
Which would be what? 5 Hawaiian?
4 Hawaiian? I don't know that one.
Yeah, what time would football games, what time do noon games start in Hawaii? Like 9 a.m.?
No. Yeah, like 4.
What time is Alaskan?
I think they're 1 hour ahead.
Of what?
Of Hawaii? All right, so we're recording at 2:30. It's 11:30 in Alaska right now.
Okay, so 1 hour.
So football starts at 9.
Too early.
And in Hawaii, it's 9:27, 9:30.
5 hours.
So football starts at
7 a.m.
Yeah.
No, pass.
So Terry, Howie, Michael, and Jimmy are on at 6? How do they do? Here's a question. How do they do?
Rob.
How do they do Thanksgiving in Hawaii? You're supposed to watch the Fox NFL pregame show while family is arriving.
That's why they added a night game solely so that Hawaii could have a lunch feel.
Yeah. That's exactly why.
I actually like that a lot. That's a good take part. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that I now know Al on the North Side's Facebook because I'm going to do a lot of reading of that later tonight. I'm going to do a deep dive.
Ooh, boy.
I used to work in a very woke environment. I loved for these type of things. Or the Rainbow Room. Yeah, it exists. Great exchange with a wokester. We are all getting vaccinated. You are vaccinated, aren't you? I'll take a rain check. Or, you know, this is a casual environment. I am casual in your polo pink shirts. This is casual. I'll do full business from now on. Best is, are you married? Yep. We've never met your wife. Let me show you pic. Mic drop.
These are texts going back with Alan or what?
No, that's a comment.
That's one full comment from him responding to no one. He's not responding to anyone. He just commented.
Oh, that's great.
Also, there is one person that sent me a message that it's actually should not be no mo May, but it should be slow mo summer.
Okay.
Because what happens is we give these hibernation areas or whatever for the bees in May, and then we fucking destroy it. He says if you let your lawn grow a little bit more, there's more. I just don't like this. I read this thing on there's this Facebook group for Shorewood. And one of the posts was, saw some kids walking around. They were about 13, and they were going up and down the street chanting, no mo May, save the bees. I thought, that's some good parenting right there. It took everything in me not to reply, first, nerds. And then second, the way I parent is, I drive my son around town looking for unmowed lawns and we mow them out of the goodness of our heart. Because this Facebook group, I follow it. to know what's going on in my village. Got a new library, a head librarian. That's a big deal.
That's big.
But there's like seven or eight people who's made it their life to run this Facebook group. And they're very controlling and very much, you know, in the, they, this is it for them. And I've gotten a lot of internet exchanges, and I just feel like I don't think this is where I should plant my seeds.
Mm. Jeez.
My internet trolling seeds.
Mm.
I just don't think, I just think, and it'll never happen. We don't need lawns. We don't need them. There's so much money and water and work and equipment. And then, I got to fix the lawnmower. I got to buy gas for the lawnmower.
Bad
and
tip.
For what?
Bad
to cultivate. The grass isn't natural. There'd be much better options. Long native prairie grasses and such. Yeah, your kids can't plant it. Go to the park.
The long prairie browser grasses. Mm-hmm.
What you're telling me you're the biggest, you're the lawn guy in this chat, Paul? It's you.
I mean, I think it's an important, yeah, you gotta have your lawn.
As a fellow homeowner, I'd be with Paul here because tending to a lawn gives you some sort of purpose and almost, if not, what's the word I'm looking for? Like some sort of perceived
will to
control.
Live.
You have will some sort of perceived control over something you have no control of.
Mm.
Well, I always think of this old proverb where
you always think of this old proverb.
Well, yeah, like the fact that we have decided you can own land is as foreign concept to some cultures as owning sky. You can't own sky. This is land. It belongs to the earth, and we have decided that we own it, but we do that because we need some sort of semblance of control in this otherwise chaotic world.
A man needs land. This is an old proverb. I don't know why you need to mow it. I just think it's, you need a hobby, I think.
No.
Well, the grass, I mean, the grass should be short so your kids can play in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's another... I'm a homeowner. I'm a parent. Okay. These are choices that you've made.
The front lawn, my front lawn doesn't need to be anything. That's all for aesthetics.
Yeah. Front lawns. Yeah.
Yeah. But the backyard should be mowed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Also, no mow May. It's like, if I don't mow my little tiny piece of grass, what am I really killing?
Exactly.
Like, I throw one water bottle into the ocean one time. I'm not the reason fish are going extinct. You know what I mean?
Car battery in the Milwaukee River. It's fine.
Yeah.
Those quarter acre plots, Bart, they add up.
That's true.
Mm.
That's true. All right. All right. Is that satisfying enough?
Well, I was like, Grant, it's a good thing we took this detour. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
I think that was time.
Yeah, No Mow May plays. No Mow May plays. And I think for some reason, a lot of people assume things about me and they assume that I would not only like lay on the sword for No Mow May, but I would want it to be extended into June and July.
Mm-hmm.
Because I come off as someone who cares so much about fucking bees, my least favorite animal or insect.
No prune June.
No prune June.
I just came out of the top of my head.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
All right. That was good. All right, good. It was a good detour. Good detour. And by the way, your No Mow May tweet, which while you found to be nothing and not particularly noteworthy or funny, crossed over into like something that I said to Mrs. Paul. And she said, I saw that too and liked that. That was fun. So you thought it was nothing, but I thought enough of it to say, hey, look at this. And she's like, I already saw it. And so,
why is it so funny?
It's just, it just.
Am I the only one providing anti-No Mow May content?
Apparently, I've not seen other No Mow
May. I'll be happy to thrive in that space.
And also, like, I just don't know how many, like, normal people in the population have ever said hashtag fuck the bees. like in your world, maybe that's not that particularly noteworthy, but amongst like normal society, friends.
Well, I hate bees.
Well, I do too. But it just
done to you. Don't say sting me. Grow up. If that's your response.
They stung a bunch of 3-year-olds at my kid's party last summer that we
I
were.
I heard you tell that story.
Bees or wasps?
It might have been wasp.
Well, there you go. You want some sort of perceived control over your property. Get a can of bee spray and go take care of those things next time. Don't put that on the honeybee. Very docile creature.
Why don't you put that on us?
Speaking of grass, I would like to talk about Happy Place Hemp. Promo code is BART. 25% off each and every order at happyplacehemp.com. They've got their seltzers, which are a big hit. You can get those at Ray's in Tulsa. You can get them at Happy Place Hemp, the store. Their physical location in Muskego, and you can get them online at happyplacehemp.com. Promo code is BART. They've teamed up with 1840 Brewing. They're kicking around some ideas for an enhanced flavor menu. So stay abreast of that at happyplacehemp.com. You can order them. They'll ship them to your house. If you get 3 of the 4 packs or more, there'll be free shipping on that. Otherwise, free shipping on pretty much everything else that's there due to the promo code and the discount of 25% with promo code BART, B-A-R-T, happyplacehemp.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right. First topic for you guys. In the context of NBA superstars, so take that as it's a very important initial premise. Giannis is a tough superstar to build around. The traits that Giannis has among superstars is unique, right? And so if you were to get one of the 10 best players in the league to build around, Giannis's skill set, position he plays, his pros, his cons, makes him one of the most, and I'll just call it this, Giannis is a tough superstar to build around, roster construction-wise. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
I would say mm-mm.
Really?
I think the Bucks have been trying to build around him. They just keep doing it with players that suck.
So build, you don't need to talk about players then, but build me the like a type of players you would put around Giannis. And if you have exact players, great. But realistically, like
legitimately, the guys they've been trying to only like good. Like, okay, Giannis, he runs, run and jump, man, into the wall. Then what do? You kick it out to guys that can hit threes. Nikola Mirotic should have been the perfect guy in that system.
He should have been.
Sucks.
Can't have Mirotic and Bobby on the same team, though.
No. And then, like with Dame, like the pick and roll stuff and everything that you want, that will work.
Mm-hmm.
That will work. They're great compliments to each other. It just I think it was a little too much of, all right, Dame's doing his stuff. They just didn't blend it enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they need more reps for that, which is the only reason the regular season matters, is reps. I think the thing that you got to like cut through is, but Giannis seems to be okay with, he doesn't need to be taking the last shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's all right with giving it to others. He's all right with others having success. It's just sometimes the team doesn't do that, so he has to take over.
Sure. Because, but because a superstar is often expected to, it's part of the job description of top 10 player in the league, top 5 player in the league, in the world. So that's, I mean, it, that would make him in that sense, at the very least, a unique superstar.
Because you must think he is hard.
I definitely do. I can tell, I mean, but before I go too much, I'm curious what Grant's going to say. He didn't give me any facial expressions that would indicate one way or the other. Grant, Giannis is among superstars, he's great. You'd love to have him, duh. But among superstars, he's a tough one to build around. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
I mean, you need more shooting around Giannis than you might need around other players,
mm-hmm.
right? Because when Giannis is on the floor, you have one guy who's not necessarily a threat to shoot from outside. So once you start having a second or a third guy like that out there, that mucks things up really quickly. So I guess in that sense, yeah, he's a little difficult to build around. But I don't think, like, find me the superstar where it's like, oh, you don't need shooters around him. Like, no, you want shooters around everybody and you want defenders around everybody. So, yeah, maybe lack of shooting hurts Giannis and the team a little bit more, but I don't think it's drastically much more than other superstars. I still think the players you want around Giannis are the players you'd want around just about anybody else. Maybe you need a little more shooting than you'd need around, I don't know, Steph Curry or someone who's a really excellent outside shooter, but then you need good defenders around Steph. So there's a give and a take. Like I don't think he's more difficult than most, at least by a lot, to build around. Mm-mm.
So here's my counter to that. And again, this should not sound like Giannis slander. It is not Giannis slander. But I think as you start to think of, if you want to tinker with the roster, which I think the three of us agree by and large, you don't need to, because you have not seen this team as intended healthy in the playoffs together.
Well, tinker. I'd tinker with it.
Sure. But
I wouldn't do anything drastic.
So what we're going to go through in a little bit is I have three Brook Lopez trade mm-hmms for you.
Ooh.
But I would just say that with Giannis, who's he's a five, right? Like, he can do all the positions, but in the sense of, like, if you, most fives in the league, most centers, most true centers, they're not great outside shooters. They don't give the word, and Grant, here's where we taught Bart last year. They don't provide the gravity that you need when you have Giannis.
I thought you were going to say malleability. That's also a big one, but gravity is important too.
Gravity is a good one. I just remember that moment.
But there's also, like, something to consider is Giannis might, with his skill set, be a five, but you don't want him to play the five for 82 games.
Which is part of why I would say it's a tough superstar to build around, because Brook Lopez is a great fit with Giannis. Like, the skill set that Brook has is a great compliment for the skill set that Giannis has, because you need a five, Brooke, who can stretch the floor, right? Like, in theory, it all works. Like, Miles Turner would be a great compliment to, because Brooke Lopez and Miles Turner are very similar players. Like,
I mean, Brooke kind of, can play defense, but other than that, yeah, they're similar enough.
I'm saying offensively, though. Okay. The gravity of the floor. And,
yes,
and
yes. All the in that sense, they are similar. In fact, Miles Turner, in that sense, I might even trust him a little bit more as a consistent three-point shooter, but yeah, he's absolute slap on defense relative to Brooke.
Yeah. Eight years younger, so that, you know, that helps too for whatever. But so as I think about these Brook Lopez trades, and I'll tell you guys in a little bit about some feedback, not so kind feedback I got about our Chris Middleton trade scenarios from last week's discussion.
Wow.
That
I got none feedback.
I wonder if that had anything to do with the fact that the Bucks weren't eliminated yet. That probably we just
The conversation, especially, I'll tell you about it a little bit, was after they got eliminated. It was still like, what were you guys doing?
When you're done with this question, I have a tangent for you.
Yeah, for sure. So as you look through, like, okay, Giannis and Dame are coming back. We can talk about and have talked about Chris and, you know, what do you get and it, would you do it or should you bring him back? We can talk about Brooke, which we will. There's only certain players that you could move Chris or Brooke for because, to your points earlier, these are actually the players that should go with a Giannis. Like, if you just looked at, forget the names on the back of the jerseys, the skill sets of Middleton and the skill sets of Brooke Lopez, that is what you would need with. Now, you might want a 10-year, 8-year younger version of both guys, right? Just to be a little bit more athletic and all the things that go with that. But, and it's, you know, I don't, like, who's the most, the NBA superstar that's the easiest to build around? Like, what would be the skill set? Like, is it Anthony Edwards? Is it
NBA superstar that's the easiest to build around?
I could argue it's Jason Tatum, like a wing. I'm not saying the talent level of Jason Tatum.
So what, like, are you looking for? Are you looking for a guy that, like, is pigeonholed into a couple things, or are you looking for a guy that can play the most malleable with everybody else?
good way to squeeze that in there. Well, I don't know, and I think that you'd have 30 NBA GMs who could answer that differently. So it's not even like there's a right and a wrong answer. Right, I mean, you would take the best player probably regardless. But if you could pick and choose, like, skill sets, if you were doing a custom build a player,
is Jokic that easy to build around, or do they just build around him?
I would say
Jokic is the end, because he's going to highlight the best skill set of every player around him.
Yeah,
right,
dude. Like, he was a sieve on defense. That's a problem.
There,
sure.
And it's that's your MVP.
I don't mean to derail the show at all, but, like, it's been all glazing of Jokic and the Nuggets for the last 6 or 7 months. If they go down in 4 or 5 games, we need to have some conversations. Like, we have some
3 or 4 years, this man's winning MVP.
Some backpedaling to do.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Continue. I think it's Jokic, though, because he's going to take the thing that every player around him does best and bring the best version of that out. Like, Aaron Gordon is a cutter and a rebounder. Yeah. Like, Jokic is going to break. So I think because Jokic uplifts everyone like that, I'd say he's the easiest to build around, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Good conversation. Bart, you had a tangent.
Yeah. Little dad talk here, if you can.
So, Grant, this is you guys.
Because I was going to say, because I said something about, so is there anything that your kids have said that's wrong in terms of grammatically, but then you and your wife now say? My examples would be, instead of no, he'll say, I have none candies. No, he'll say none. And then the big one that I catch myself saying a lot, and it's even slipped up on the radio, is he doesn't say by myself. He says by my loan. Like, I don't want to be upstairs by my loan. So that one's a big one.
So I don't think there is grammatically.
Or are you, like, teaching them proper English at 9 months?
Oh, of course I was. Of course. No, but there would be things like a little bit of why, like when they were younger, they would call them straw babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I just adapted, like, they are now straw babies. Those strawberries. Yep. Like, and so there'd be things like less grammatical and more like, damn, that's cute. I'm going to also say
beanie, that. Like beanie babies.
Yeah. Like a straw, like there's, you know, strawberry. No, straw baby.
Oh, the fruit. Okay. The fruit. Okay.
Sorry. Yes.
Sure.
Like, my kid messes up his pronouns. I mean, like, he'll say.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because it happens here, too. I know exactly what you mean.
Just say, like, what is her doing?
Mm-hmm. I think that's actually really hard. I'm finding that to be that's a.
What is she doing? What is her doing?
Yeah. That is her cup. She has a cup.
Mm-hmm.
It is
what
hard.
What is her doing?
I didn't think of it previously as, like, well, that's a tough thing to grasp. But as you raise youngins, it's like, oh, I can totally see how that's confusing.
Like, there's, like, it's still like they're cute, but he's going to be going to kindergarten soon. And I don't want to, like, have him get beat up.
In fall is kindergarten for him?
Oh, yeah.
They're in the same grade?
Yeah, because I'm at the way back end.
Oh.
It was a big decision. Big decision, but we're doing it.
So he's going to be the youngest then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So he'll graduate high school at like 17 and a half.
Younger than even. I just got 18 before I graduated. And that was,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember the year that I'm really worried about is like his 21st birthday when the whole year of college, all of his buddies are going to be going out to the bars. So you sit back at your house, get drunk by yourself. Mm. They all come home at 2:30 and then you're like, let's party.
Yeah.
What'd you do tonight, Bart? Well, just don't park.
Is that what you did?
Oh yeah. I didn't do a fake ID. I was petrified of the idea of a fake ID. I thought
I was the same. I never had a fake. I genuinely never went downtown La Crosse. So I was 21.
Yeah. I was mortified.
Yeah.
The only bar I went into was there was a bar in Fond du Lac that, God, as long as you look 16, you're in. They don't care. If they don't let you inside, they'll somehow get a six pack to you, and you can sit outside on the patio.
It's good business.
I tipped very well as a kid. I was drinking in a bar.
Bart, what's the countdown clock at for your 30s?
A week and a half.
Mm. You cherishing it?
I'm already 40.
You've been saying that, but yeah, you're not. But not, you actually will be.
I'm 40 though.
Yeah.
But it will hit hard.
Yeah, this is.
I don't think it will hit hard, but it will hit hard. I think
there'll be an emotional component to the.
Big I mean, when you're 40 years old.
Yeah.
That's like,
yeah, it's weird. I genuinely, sorry, Grant, for the parent corner and then the old guy corner, but like it is, no part of me thinks of myself as the age that I am. I don't feel like
you realize that nobody does.
Isn't that weird though?
Like everyone that's running around being 55 and 60, like in their head, they're not.
That's great though. I mean, it's so cliche, like age is just a number, but like it's a mentality. Like it just doesn't, it shouldn't matter. I mean, there's certain things that matters for them. Yeah, it doesn't, shouldn't. But... All right. Grant, let's let you chime in on something. Bart was very pro, like, wow, like aggressively anti Brooke Lopez a week ago. 2 weeks ago, Grant, you were very full of praise for our Disney World center. I'm going to give you $3 trades, Brooke Lopez trades.
Okay, this is where we're just finding out.
You're just finding out. You ready?
Yeah.
And these all work. These are all correct. Okay. Like they work. The math is correct. Guys,
and of course, you can watch the initial reactions on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream.
Do you guys see this? There's a big Bucks trade. That
Grant's looking at the camera for the first time in 8 months.
Brooke Lopez trade. Hang on.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Grant, can you not? I can't finish my
thing. I don't like it.
Yeah, I like Grant better where he's like, oh, I'm not even sure there's a camera here.
Ready? Ready?
Yeah. Okay.
There we go. Bucks just traded Brooke Lopez.
Oh, no. Do it like we're having a conversation and you
okay, go ahead. Cut us off. Converse.
So then Grant, what? I've specifically been looking for bees to murder. What?
No. Dude. What? Bucks just made a huge trade. Check this out. You ready?
Okay.
Brooke Lopez has been traded.
Oh, thank God.
To the Orlando Magic.
Makes sense.
He'll be thrilled.
For Wendell Carter Jr. and Cole Anthony.
Sure.
It's a good deal for the Bucks.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wendell Carter plays good once every 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Anthony fits into a jersey. Sure.
Mm-hmm. True.
I think it's a good package. I wouldn't be upset about that. I want the most reverent send off to Brooke Lopez any franchise has ever done for a player. Like I'm sad that he's leaving. Very sad. I love him, but I think that's a deal that makes sense, don't you?
See, and that's what, so one of the things I was thinking about in Brooke Lopez trade scenarios is you do need at the very, like Wendell Carter Jr., you have to defend him from deep. He creates floor spacing and he's one of really like only a handful or so of true NBA centers, Brooke Lopez being one of them, that kind of, I think, needs to be the center for a team that has Giannis. It's a very select group, I think, that works. So, all right, I'm for it.
Okay.
One more, by the way, you have one now. I mean, Wendell Carter Jr. is good. They're both obviously young. And now you added one, you have two players who can competently play in a playoff series instead of one. So you get
I'm fine with like the Bucks, like, You know, sometimes you do these fantasy trades, you give up two and then you get five, but then you have to cut three and you're like, well, what am I? But I'm fine getting more, and I'm like two for one. Three, I'm fine with doing that. Maybe the you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying. Yeah.
All right, I'll have another fake conversation with Grant.
Well, let me start. Can I start this fake one?
Oh, okay, then I got one.
No. Okay, you do this one, then I'll get the last one.
No, you can have this one.
Okay, so anyways, we were walking out of downtown, and I was taking a fat piss on the side of H&R Block. We just left the Helm. The swamp waters were unbelievably good. And that's when the police officer came up, and I saw
hold that thought. The Bucks have just made a big trade.
Fuck, what? Who? Where? Why?
Brooke Lopez has been traded.
Suppose.
Wait. What happened with the cop?
Let's get back to that.
I had never had an issue with the law. That's not something that happened. Although I did love peeing on the side of the H&R Block building. It was well lit.
We waited until we got a few blocks downtown, and there was this dumpster. But the dumpster was right by our house. But we made it a point to pee at the dumpster.
So you had a pee dumpster.
Piss dumpster.
We just pissed on the H&R Block or the postal office, depending on where. There's that nice little alcove, you know, the one I'm talking about with the brick wall.
Oh, yeah.
You know, do you actually, or you just, yeah.
Speaking of kid things, though, I do now exclusively, unintentionally call it potty. Because.
Yeah, daddy has to go potty, yep.
So now I don't even, I forgot people used these other terms.
Yeah. Jason Lane sending guys into a fucking buzzsaw. I'm going to turn the game away. Continue, Paul. Sorry.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This Bucks trade, I want you guys to be ready for this. Putting aside what you might have heard on this pod 5 minutes ago about a different trade, that was just pretend. This is a real one. It's a straight-up one-for-one Brooke Lopez trade. Are you ready?
Okay.
Brooke Lopez to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Jarrett Allen. This is a good trade for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Yeah.
I don't like that one as much. Because Jared Allen, you talk about fitting players next to Giannis. Jared Allen can't shoot.
Yeah. See, he's a better player than Brooke. At this stage.
Did you also make some shit trades just to see if we would, is this a trade that you don't even like?
I'm intrigued enough by it that I do think I would. I'd be.
Well, he's also like 10 years younger.
That's what I'm saying. I think at a certain point it could be one of those. Maybe like. And by the way, like the trade.
Wasn't there a stretch where Jared Allen was like, "Oh shit, this guy's really he's an all-star."
Yes. Yeah. No, but again, he does not stretch the floor, so you are gravity-wise. You're going to struggle a little bit with that.
Doesn't everyone else stretch the floor?
So, and that's, I mean, yeah, I like the first, I like to
be an all-star.
Like 22.
There's this constant battle between protecting the rim, stretching the floor, protect the rim, stretch the floor, protect the, it's the balance you need to strike. Jared Allen also gets hurt a lot. So, like, Brooke Lopez might be older, and we might be inclined to get younger. I get that. But Brooke Lopez hasn't, other than the 1 year he had a hurt back, which really didn't even end up mattering because he was available in the playoffs. Like, Brooke Lopez has been nothing but available. Jared Allen's actually missed a good amount of time with injury. It's fluky, but, like, you're not really fixing a huge need. Like, the injury risks on this team are players other than Brook Lopez.
Yeah. So we're less excited. I like the Wendell Carter Jr. Cole Anthony one more.
I do as well.
Okay. But it wasn't like thrown out there just
to I almost know. Specifically like it better because it's a 2-for-1. But I do. I think Wendell Carter is a better fit than Allen.
I do too. Not as good of a. They're close, but I mean, Jared Allen's a superior overall player, but not by so much that you don't. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you. So, if given the choice between the two, I'd take the Wendell Carter one pretty clearly.
Okay.
Conversation. Just feel free to.
So, no Grant, do you think that. When people like if I die and go to heaven? Do you think God will be upset when I'm like, this place ain't no lacrosse? What the fuck is this?
I think so. Yeah.
Like, if all lacrosse people ended up going to hell because they were sad initially.
Bart. I'm so sorry to interrupt. That was captivating. The Bucks have just made a major trade.
No kidding. Who?
So, the draft is tonight. The NBA draft is tonight.
Yeah,
of course.
That's why we're doing this.
And yeah. They own the number 23 and number 33 overall picks. So by NBA bylaw, they're going to make those picks and those guys are going to put on Bucks hats. But both guys have already been traded along with Brook Lopez.
Oh.
To the Clippers. For Zubats and Terrence Mann.
No. No. God, no.
Good deal for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
I think it's fine.
All of these are fine.
I think the first one was best.
What would you take away? Is like if it was just the 33, or actually you don't even want the two players for Brooke. I initially didn't have the picks as part of it, and then I just kind of wanted to see if that did anything for you.
Terrence Mann, I don't get Terrence Mann. Everyone's like, oh, Clippers, got to play Terrence Mann, got to keep Terrence Mann. Can't trade away Terrence Mann in a James Harden trade.
You're talking to the president of the fan club over here to see.
Well, then explain it to me, because I don't get it. I've never got it.
Perfect role player, Bruce Brown type of guy. Like the perfect type of just fit piece that works when you have a really good team, a la Bruce Brown with Denver.
Okay, I'll go there with you. What is Zubats providing that the Bucks have lacked in these years they've come up short?
I'm less about, and I mean this not as like to sell you on it, but that doesn't mean as much to me as saying, okay, so we've never seen a playoff game with Giannis and Dame together.
Mm-hmm.
If it's working, just like the Clippers can say this with like Kawhi Leonard, man, geez, every year. But like we also should acknowledge, as much as we mock Kawhi's health in the playoffs, Giannis has not been a beacon of health these playoff years. Zubats is a very good center. Like he is. He's a very good center. If they were the same age and they had the same salary, I like the skill set of Brook Lopez more. But Zubats is very good. Like he's a really good player.
It's fine. Sure. All right. Fine.
I mean, as true traditional starting centers go, he's good. Now, I wouldn't trade Zubats for Lopez straight up, but you add in Terrence Mann. Again, the 2-for-1 thing that Bart was intrigued by with the Orlando idea. Okay.
I like the multiple players. I think it's got to be multiple players. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
That's a wide net.
I talked about this last night. But
oh, yeah, those three. So now any conversation you have, I'm not going to interject in.
The Thunder still have, and this isn't even including the pick swap potential, they still have 3 first-round picks yet to go.
It's crazy.
From the Paul George trade.
Yeah.
In which they got SGA and then drafted Jalen Williams.
And they're about to lose Paul George to someone.
They still have 3 first-round picks coming out of that.
It's crazy.
Who do you
Have they won one playoff series in this Kawhi PG era? 2?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look.
How many playoff games have Kawhi and Paul George played together?
Not many.
Not many.
Then again, Chris and Giannis have played like no playoff games together the last 3 years.
I'm saying, like, that's why it's tough to almost do like the Kawhi hurt in playoffs thing because Giannis is the hurt in playoffs guy too right now.
Bart was about to ask who's coming out of what. I'll just jump out in front of whatever this question was and say, I don't know why people are so high on the Mavs. They're fun, but I don't know. It's everyone's assuming the Mavs are going to be in the conference finals. I don't get it.
I don't know.
Well, now people are saying that series is over.
At 1-0.
I mean, it's the Timberwolves. I don't care. Like, Jokic can't defend them. It's over.
Would you pick the Wolves in a series against Boston?
All right, this is my
I already did. I bet on them to win the title.
Yeah, but you did it because it was 10-1.
I did, and I also thought they were going to beat Denver, so that was the time to get the odds.
So I think we would all agree, I think. Like, the goal here...
Dude, Boston's play-by-play guy...
I've heard this, yes.
They are... Oh, another night we win by 20. Bring on the Knicks. So see you later. He's like cocking off to the Heat.
The radio guys.
Would you, if that was happening on the Bucks radio network, like, would you want that? Like, if you're a Bucks fan, are you like, like, would you resonate with it if it wasn't, you know, a rival? Is it working?
This Boston team hasn't won since 2008.
And before that?
86. The way that Boston, I'm telling you, the Boston Niners connection, which everyone's now making because I'm brilliant, they're the same. They can't win shit, but they get treated as if they're perennial winners.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. The Bucks and now the Nuggets are getting more shit for winning a title, but then it's like, well, what kind of title was that really?
Simmons did that on his podcast today.
Yeah. Boston's not winning anything.
The last title we had where you really thought the right team won was Kevin Durant's last one that he won in Golden State. And I'm like, up your ass with that take. That's no. We can't have that.
I'm sorry guys get hurt, but that's you play 2 months of vigorous, intense basketball.
It's the least spooky postseason we have.
For sure.
Who's getting out of that healthy?
Yeah.
If anything, injuries are as much bad luck as they are bad planning.
The Western Conference team, so I would preface by saying, I do not want Boston to win the NBA Finals. Bart definitely, I know that thing. I'm guessing Grant is similar. The Western Conference, so and they're in the finals. I guess I'm agreeing with the radio.
Who would you root for, Boston Pacers?
I was going to bring this up today.
Don't make me.
But then again, it's going to be Boston, New York in both hockey and basketball.
Well, you know what? The answer is I would root for Boston. Well, no, that's not true. I want them out because Indiana would lose to whoever comes out of the West. Whereas I'm very, very, very worried that Boston is going to win the.
Because last year I ended up rooting for the Heat over Boston.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this earlier today. It's like if the Pacers and the Celtics met in the conference finals, it'd be pretty funny if the Pacers won. Be hilarious if the Pacers won.
They would lose in 4 or 5 in the NBA Finals. The Pacers would.
The Celtics might too. You know,
I don't think that. I wish I believed that. I don't. So the Western Conference team who is most likely to stop the Celtics from winning the title, the team that presents the most matchup challenges, the team that we'd be most confident would beat Boston, is the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It might be the Thunder.
No.
Ooh.
I wish. I'm very pro Thunder. That'd be great. Grant, you said mm-hmm to me saying the Nuggets.
The Nuggets, I know this is insane. They are cooked. It's over. They have been exposed.
The only media guy in media who refuses to proclaim series as over until they're over is, and I get why, they lost both games at home and it wasn't particularly close.
And they handled it poorly. It would be one thing.
They lost with the greatest home field advantage ever, altitude.
Yep.
And Rudy Gobert missed the second game. And it would be something else if after the game, you know, not Tatum, but Jokic and Murray sat down at the table and they did the Drew and Chris thing where they very much looked like things were going to be okay, right? Like the eye test and the vibe check, these things matter in games like this. And they were throwing temper tantrums. They were throwing things, literally, onto the floor.
And
the coach was losing his shit. So
how did he not get suspended?
I'm kind of glad.
I don't think he should have.
Really?
Yeah. You can't suspend him for that.
Hmm. If Draymond did it, is he suspended?
Probably. Yes.
Draymond would get suspended if he got, you know, what was that?
So, I'm not saying I disagree with that. Like, because Jamal is usually a model citizen, like, he gets a little bit of extra pass on that.
Well, Draymond is in a class of his own.
Okay.
Draymond gets suspended for everything now.
Okay. Are you surprised he didn't get, I mean, did you not think he would?
I was surprised a lot of people thought he should be. Because I didn't see the heat pack thing until the next morning.
Oh, okay.
And people are like, is Murray going to be suspended? I'm like, what the fuck are people talking about? And then I saw the heat pack and I thought, did some fan throw a heat pack? And then they're like, oh, it was Murray. I'm like, so a guy, whatever. What, did it hit anybody?
I feel like
near the ref, right?
And Draymond Green is a big part of this. So it'll be interesting once Draymond has moved along, whenever he's done in the NBA or done as like a productive playoff player, which I guess maybe he might be in this current state of the Golden State Warriors. But it seems like for the last, let's say, 10 years, I'm surprised looking back, it seems like a lot of series were marked by some sort of possible suspension where a game is played and then we're left to debate for a day. Should they? Shouldn't he? Will he? Won't he? Like, I just feel like that happens way more often than it should. And maybe it's because of Draymond. Maybe Draymond is a big part of that. But I would like to get out of that mindset of like every other game. And the reffing thing is the same. Like the Pacers-Knicks, everything was about the refs the next day, which is dumb. It was the same as UConn and Iowa, which Bart, you said on your show. I thought that was a very good point. Like, I don't know. I hate falling into the same topics and the same complaints and the same thing. The day after a game, it's like, all right, pick a card. It's one of these three that we're going to do. And I don't like that. I hate that. And the suspension thing is one of those cards.
Yeah, agree. What is happening?
That's the piss dumpster at 716 Vine.
Wait a minute. Spin me. Spin me around.
Right round, baby. Right round.
I lived right here. See?
I do see.
Oh, yeah.
I lived right there, but we always peed right here.
Spin the other way. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's new.
It's a beautiful stretch of street. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Western's really built up since I was there.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. You go to the Tech. Oh, you start macking on a girl. She's like, I go to the Tech. You're like, even I got standards.
This isn't something we're going to talk about with the fellas the next day, or we're going to leave that part of the story out.
Yeah.
The whole Western Tech part of it.
Mm-hmm. She gets out the house and starts walking towards the river. You're like, oh, fuck, what have I done? All right. Anything else?
Well, we got, I'll tell you just real quick. Yeah. The Chris random impromptu Bart looking at just awful trade ideas from Middleton last week got some negative feedback.
About me?
Just about what the hell was that? Why are you so, Chris had an unbelievable series and didn't he prove that he's exactly what the Bucks need to be surrounded?
No one's defended Chris more than me.
I know. That's why it was so surprising.
We were just looking at, because I think Giannis is 100%. Dame is 99.999.
Yep.
I think there is a chance that they could move Chris.
I do too. But
or at least that's going to be something that they go in and say, all right, what are we going to do here?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll get to Giannis and say no. They'll get to Dame and say no. And then they'll get to Chris and say, well, what are our options?
Yeah.
I was looking through the options.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I would absolutely
agree. I would be bummed if they traded Chris.
I know
you. From a basketball standpoint, I don't think they should trade Chris.
I think it was the value that you were getting in return that was more of like how little do you think
Chris is more valuable to us than he is to anyone else?
It's an entropy idea. That's what we're dealing with here. Is every time you trade away one of these pieces, as you lose out on assets and as you have fewer draft picks, you have less money to spend, every trade chip that you have becomes more valuable. In a lot of these transactions, you are getting back 80, 90 cents on the dollar, which every once in a while is fine. But if you keep doing it,
mm-hmm.
right, you're losing value hand over fist and you're getting farther slowly, but surely you're getting farther away from a championship. That makes sense to you. It's getting less disorganized. The return for these trades is getting worse and worse because you're getting 80, 70 cents on the dollar.
So I should come back next week with three Chris Middleton trade ideas to interrupt you guys in the midst of conversation.
I don't think there's one that exists.
So let me just be clear. Bart says there's not ones that exist. Grant says I should come back with Giannis trade ideas.
You know what? Here's what we need to do. We just need to have more improv bits. Forget the trade ideas. Let's just have more fake conversations. I think that's what this needs.
I'll just have something prepped to interrupt with so that when the time comes, that's what we'll do.
I want to talk more about the piss dumpster.
Do you want to pack
block away?
Do you want to pick a Packers one or do you want to be done?
We can do a Packers one. We can do a Packer one.
I got 5 minutes.
All right. So let me clarify. Last year, going into the 2023 season, what were your expectations, like record wise or postseason wise, for the Packers? Let me just ask that generally first.
8-9.
Yep. 8-9, 9-8. Yep.
And if they snuck in at 8-9, great. If they didn't, that wasn't what we expected. And if so, obviously they far exceeded that because I was right around there with you. Your Packers expectations this year, like, again, if they doesn't mean they couldn't exceed it, but your expectations are they need to make the playoffs. Anything beyond that is cherry on top. That's a good representation of your middle of May expectations of the upcoming Packers season. That they make the playoffs, got to make the playoffs to meet my expectations. But I'm not expecting anything beyond that. It would all be a bonus after that.
Oh, no. I'm right back into Super Bowl.
Wow.
Are we, Bob, Super Bowl or bust?
But then you're telling me that you're not going to have fun this year because you are the...
Yeah, I will have less fun. Yeah,
Bummer.
I'm already bummed about it. We're going to lose to the Bears at least once. That's going to suck.
But you shouldn't care about that in the same way that Bears fans shouldn't celebrate it as if it's a Super Bowl.
Well, it's not the losing to the Bears. I mean, that's one game out of 17. It's the we got the North bullshit that you got to hear because no city in this country, sports-wise, is obsessed with the little brother as much as Illinois is obsessed and Chicago is obsessed with us. Could it be because the state of Wisconsin, at least the territory, used to cover Illinois? It used to go down all the way to the lake. Could that be it? Could it be because where's the first chance they go? Every chance they get via the Bears still suck, where they do vacation here? Could it be because you drive around Whitefish Bay and you see more Cubs flags than you see Packer flags?
Yes.
Is it cheaper to live up here than it is there? What was a flag I saw the other day? It was really fucking weird. It was
into the Winklerverse.
It was like the Bengals, but weirder than that. It was like Purdue or some shit. It was something so fucking weird. I'll take.
Well, I was in the southwest corner of the state last weekend. You know, the only flags that I saw, Norwegian flags, in front of every house. Fucking rules. I love it.
Mm-hmm. There's a big Norway population.
Oh yeah, Westby and all those towns down there. Oh yeah.
Really?
Everything is Skogdalen or
Toftegallen.
Norskedalen. Yeah. Okay. Actually, that's pretty dope.
It is. Grant? Big ski jump that's been decimated by climate change.
Grant, your expectations for the Packers are making the playoffs. Anything beyond that is gravy?
You're asking Grant, the owner. The owner would say, The fan would say, I want a little more. But the owner, Yes.
We're going to have no Mo January because of fucking the shit that's changing.
You could have made that joke. Your timing. You could have made that joke before I started my answer.
You are a lot more disciplined on the National Perspective show. Like, you know, you don't do these like 15 minute later, like, oh, by the way, I have to finish that thought. Like, I'm just going to, you're good at it there. Here, you're just like, fuck it. I'm just going to mention it randomly.
This is my true.
This is your true self.
So, Paul, answer me this. Okay. So coming into last year, and I remember filling in for Bill with Ben, we did like days on days on days of this shit where it's like, what are our expectations? Mm-hmm. Who's under the most pressure? Like the setting of the stage for the season.
Mm-hmm. Who's closest to a title?
Yep. We didn't do that. That's different. A lot of shows probably did. I kept saying that I think they will have a very similar record as they did with the last under the last year of Rodgers. I think the records will be really similar within a game or two, but it will feel a lot better, and the season will be considered a much more of a success.
Of course.
Is it possible that the Packers might have a very similar record because of the improvements in the division this year compared to last year, maybe within a game or two, but we still walk away thinking, yeah, but we took another step. Like, we're still going in the right direction. Is that possible? Is it possible that they don't make it as far in the playoffs, or they go the same distance? Let's say they lose in the wild card round or lose in the divisional round. Could we walk away from a season like that thinking, okay, but yes, we still took a step in the right direction?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think so too.
And certainly 70% of that would be that Jordan Love went from being a, where you're arguing in the Bardo meter that he's a top 10 quarterback, and you get some pushback that he's a top 10. And now you're like, no. He's number 4 or 5.
Sure.
If that's not a crazy thing to say, you've won the season regardless of the outcome.
If that's the outcome that we have, that means that the division took a huge step. We're recognizing the Lions are legit and the Bears are really good, and they lose to a team, what, the Niners again? Like, who does that mean? Who do they have to lose to in the playoffs where we're like, oh, I guess them's the breaks this year. I don't know.
I'm not even sure it would. I mean, Dallas, San Francisco.
They're not losing. They'll never lose to Dallas. It'll be 3 decades before they lose to Dallas again in the playoffs. This team owns Dallas so hard. So fucking hard.
Announcer jinx. Mark it down. Yeah. Tim, clip this in post.
Tim can mark it in post, but.
Yeah. Did I answer your question? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay. I think so.
Tim will probably edit out all the No Mo May stuff that Lib.
Lib, yeah. Jeez. The climate, the Westby ski jump climate change thing is.
It's real.
No one's writing about that in the Daily Norseman or whatever fucking newspaper they have in Westby. But it's,
yeah, they're like, it's oh, true. God, just, I guess no snow this year, eh?
I've lived here my whole life. I've never heard of Westby.
Never heard of Westby? You never had their cheese?
Maybe. It's in Wisconsin. It's in Southwest Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Westby. Yeah. Oh, Westby.
Vestby.
Like, where in relation to Madison?
About an hour, 45 minutes west on 14.
That's why it's called Westby.
It's just north of Viroqua, just south of Coon Valley, just a little east of Chaseburg.
Should I be embarrassed that I don't know this? Mm-hmm. Or I should be embarrassed. I don't know.
No, you shouldn't be embarrassed, but you should recognize there's a massive hole in your heart for not having experienced Western Wisconsin in the same way that Grant and I have been able to. And I even look at somebody like Grant, who's experienced a lot more of the lakes and rivers and tributaries more than I have.
And so I
get a little jealous.
Mm. I love a tributary. Do you guys see that Lake Wisconsin was getting some flowers? Or not Lake Wisconsin. The Wisconsin River was getting some flowers on Twitter earlier today.
Yes, I did. Yes.
It was a sick tweet, wasn't it?
Because it starts in Wisconsin and ends in Wisconsin.
Meanwhile, the Mississippi or the Ohio or the Missouri River, they're all over the place. Well, the Wisconsin River is exclusive to the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Paul probably doesn't give too much of a darn about that.
It's not a world I understand.
It's fine. Go mow your lawn. Whatever brings you happiness and whatever piques your interest, go edge your sidewalk. You, Bart, every time on the
God, I edge my sidewalk.
You say that, and it makes me, God damn it, you got to stop saying that.
I'm so fucking pumped. I edged it.
You got to stop saying that.
Why?
Because it's, I edged. It's just, it's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, guy, help me. I was going to edge him next.
Stop. Is that
the Blink 182 song that came out like a year ago, Edging? Is that what edging is? Is that what they were referring to?
Edging the sidewalk, probably.
I figured.
Yeah.
How was Death Cab and Postal Service? You want to tell your audience?
My mood changed throughout the show.
I think that music is intended to do just that.
Not because of that.
Oh.
I wasn't really allowing myself to be one with the music until I saw that the Knicks had won. And then once the Knicks won, I was like watching the fucking end of the game at the show. Because I had to know. Death Cab, Postal Service, I never actually thought I would see those songs perform live ever. And so that was a treat. It was like Death Cab was opening for Postal Service.
Mm. Yeah.
Did they play... What's
Jenny Lewis was there. She's the singer on those.
Did they play the song where it's like, in every movie I've seen from the 50s...
No, that's not... They just played the album. They played Transatlanticism, start to finish.
I'd probably have a hard time completely surrendering to that too. That's kind of bizarre.
Well, it's 20 years ago.
There's a lot of like those 20 year anniversary.
Yeah, and these were the, I'm telling you, these were the albums that I like. They, you know, you have your albums that you listen to in times, and those were them. And then they've taken different meanings along the way. And I didn't do this for myself. I did this for myself 20 years ago self.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be good for that kid to know 20 years later that your emotions were in check and you were able to enjoy the music without listening to these songs and feeling depressed.
Like on a scale of 1 to 10.
That's deep.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm conflicted about what number I would have put on you being an emo kid. Like, I think it's both.
I don't think I was an emo kid.
Yeah, but you do you know, like, you want me to replay back for you, like, the last 15 seconds of words you chose to say out loud? Like, that.
I'm feeling, a kid feeling emotion.
Experiencing emotions?
Yeah, I'm that's not
restricting. Developing emo brain I'm at not... a very tumultuous emotional. Do you understand, like, the college experience, the emotions? And you were just like, you should go to college when you're 45 and you're in check and you can manage shit and you don't have to worry about where's your next beer coming and what girl, when the girl's away message is going to come back from Gray. So, you know, she's back in her room and not with your buddy. That's a that you go to college at the wrong time, man.
I wasn't judging you. I'm a little bit surprised. But I'm also totally not surprised. It's a weird combination.
Yeah.
I like that Bart surrenders himself emotionally on a deeper level to some music. Some people, it is background noise. It's a soundtrack to get drunk with friends. It's supposed to mean something. And you know what, Paul? You're supposed to assign it to experiences and interactions and emotions in your life. You know, one song should be felt and read very differently by one person versus another. And that's not restricted to emo. You know, the band sing like this. That's not, there's emotions elsewhere in the musical spectrum.
I'm sorry now. Yeah. I'm not perfect. Like, it don't need to be that.
What song was that?
I think Simple Plan.
Okay, so that's what I thought you were doing. I mean, it just sounded terrible, but yeah.
Exactly. Right. You figured it out.
No, it's a good song.
It's not.
Suman lost it all.
Hey. Trademark.
Nothing lasts.
I put that Brewer video up. I had to take some audio out because, like, Hey Ya was playing in the background at the fucking stadium from 2005.
Yeah. By the way, are you really going all in on engagement? I see you posting individual clips. Brewers fan reacts to Craig Counsell joining the Cubs. What the hell is that?
On Twitter, I'm just being Miley. Okay. On YouTube, I'm trying to make. And on Facebook, I am going strictly for engagement.
Okay.
So you should understand that.
I can understand that.
Make money, money, make money, money, money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Well, this is fun.
Good to see you, boys.
Good to see you guys.
Chris Gray is forthcoming next week to interject into your thoughtful conversations.
I look forward to it.
About going potty on dumpsters.
Piss.
No.
Piss.
Incorrect.
Piss. Dumpsters.
What a callback.
I know.
One of my roommates just had piss jugs in his bedroom. He didn't even want to walk up the stairs to the bathroom. Just jugs under his bed.
That's gross.
I agree.
Very terrible.
All right. And bye. On that,
bye.